Emmett Renston wrote for the New Republic about how the satirical newspaper The Onion transmits Marxist analyses and critiques of everyday life and society. Now I turn it over to Norm Diamond and Steve Early.
Thank you, Joe. Steve, good morning. Are you there?
I am, Norm.
Ah, glad to hear your voice. Certainly. We're coming to you from snowy Portland. I want to thank you and also, of course, thank our anonymous supporter of the Old Mole Variety Hour for that matching donation. Steve has a new book. This is Steve Early. The book, as Joe said, is Save Our Unions, subtitled Dispatches from a Movement in Distress. And Steve will be speaking here in Portland. We'll tell you more about the book, tell you more about his speaking engagement as we go on. But I want to introduce him a little bit more extensively. Steve, you won't mind hearing about yourself just a bit. He's, I believe, our most astute labor journalist. He writes prolifically. He writes out of a background of organizing experience, decades of working within unions and on behalf of unions. And he writes very accessibly. What underlies all of his writings is a strongly democratic vision, rank and file oriented, with very realistic assessment. He's able to be critical of labor activity, even of the kinds of unions we have, and I'm going to go there as we talk. But he as well sees a way forward. Anything you want to add, Steve?
Thank you for the kind words.
Okay, then we shall proceed. Oh, I do want to mention, actually, late in the book, you tell a little anecdote where a union official would not comment to you because you weren't a legitimate journalist. So as an illegitimate journalist, I wanted to welcome you to KBOO and make very clear to all our listeners that you are indeed, when we talk about old moles, that Steve Early fits the bill. So the book, I think, when I said astute, I think the book focuses a lot on the kinds of dilemmas that we face within the labor movement and in deciding to work with the labor movement. And that's what I want to talk with you about today, some of these dilemmas. So I'll start with one that kind of permeates the book. I think I know your answer, but we'll put it on the air. For many of us who've worked with labor for, well, for as long as you have, basically, there are real choices to be made. Do we work with the kinds of unions we have now? Do we try to improve them? Or do we put our efforts into building some of the new kinds of alternative workplace-based organizing that are sprouting up now? How do you see that kind of choice?
Well, I don't think the two strategies are necessarily mutually exclusive. Clearly, it's a positive thing that the mainstream labor movement has belatedly embraced the idea that union membership should not be restricted to workers covered by collective bargaining agreements or in legally recognized bargaining units. Some of us on the left in the labor movement have been arguing for years that a more expansive conception of union membership and of the labor movement was really necessary. So it's very encouraging to see that we have so-called non-majority unions, voluntary membership organizations like our Walmart and to some extent the network that has developed around the Fight for 15 Fast Food Workers Network and other efforts to build union organization in workplaces where traditional forms of collective bargaining and labor organization under our existing system of labor law are just not feasible at the moment. In terms of the need for internal change, I think people still have a very big stake in struggling for unions that are democratic, that have leaders who are responsive to the members, that are willing to be forums for debate and discussion, and membership engagement. When those paths to union renewal are blocked, sometimes it is necessary for people to form independent unions based on a different and better model.
What are the obstacles to self-reform of the existing unions?
Well, I think this is a generalization for sure, because there are many fine unions throughout the U.S. and your listeners in Portland are lucky to live in a city where you have a progressive labor movement. You have many locals that are leading the way and involve the members and engage with the community and embrace a range of non-labor causes and issues that are really you know, the basis for any enduring community labor coalition like Jobs with Justice is built in Portland. But I think that, you know, within some unions, you have a concentration of power in the hands of the full-time official. You have people who don't want to involve the rank and file in decision-making sufficiently, don't want to mobilize the potential power of the membership in tough strike and bargaining situations. And that's really self-defeating. It's an approach that just does not work in the current bargaining climate.
What would you say, then, to members of those kinds of unions? We certainly have some among our listeners. People who are union supporters.
Trying to work for change, certainly becoming cynical, apathetic, hopeless as a union member is not a strategy for shaking things up and making them better. In the Teamsters Union, you've had the example for more than 35 years of concerned members joining Teamsters for a Democratic Union. One of the leaders of the Teamster Reform Movement is Brother Tom Leadham, who's based in Portland. Tom and other TDU activists have struggled for years within locals and the national Teamsters organization to make it more responsive to the members, to make the union's finances more transparent, and to get the Teamsters on the right track in bargaining and organizing in strike situations. So I would suggest anybody looking for models, look to the Teamsters or look to some of the efforts that have been made in the teachers union in Chicago, for example, to revitalize local unions that had previously been pretty moribund and undemocratic and ineffective.
We're going to pursue this issue further in just a very few minutes. I do want to mention that Steve will be speaking this coming Sunday, that's February 16th, at noon in Lucky Lab on North Killingsworth, that's 1700 North Killingsworth. He'll have copies of the book, Save Our Unions. Let's go to our pitchers, as they know that Steve has generously donated copies for membership renewals and increases.
Yes. This is your chance to make KBOO survive. This is your opportunity to keep us alive. This is the moment we've all been waiting for, where your money makes the score. Oh, yeah. Well, it's a matching period. Ding, 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 ding. Where's that bell?
We need the bells. Where's the bell?
Ding, 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 ding. Ding, ding. I need the bell. There it is. There's the bell. Oh, ladies and gentlemen. On the Old Mold Variety Hour, double impact of your donation without any extra money out of your pocket. How, you ask? Well, you might. An anonymous KBOO member has made a very generous offer to match the next $500 in donations. Anyway, you just have to call in during the Old Mold Variety Hour, the Honest to Goodness Lefty Show, and make a donation. A double impact. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266.
And when you call 877-500-5266.
What was that number?
I think it's, in fact, I know it's 877-500-5266.
You mean 877-500-5266?
But there's another way. If you
66?
66, yes. If you aren't by a telephone, but you are by your computer, or you're one of those semi-autistic Asperger-type people we were hearing about in the last show,
computer,
and you'd rather just like relate to a screen, we don't encourage that, but if that's the way you feel, you can go to kboo.fm on your computer, on the internet, and you can click on the tip jar, and it takes you through all the steps of becoming a member of KBOO. Joe, when you become a member of KBOO, what happens to you?
Well, suddenly a great light fills the room, and huge angelic figures loom out of the dark and cry out your name in an Excelsius manner. I don't know what Excelsius means, but
that sounds good. Yeah,
and the colors all vary, and you are suddenly transported to a place of knowledge, true knowledge. Isn't that wonderful?
Come out of the, get lifted out of the mire and the muck.
And the nonsense
of commercial media.
877-500-5266. Remember, this is a match. If you've ever thought about giving to KBOO, this is the moment to do it. 877-500-5266.
Now, right now, if you are in that nasty commute trying to get to work, doing something you're probably told not to do, which is to drive this morning, and you're just stuck and you're not going to move, you could call us on your cell phone at 877-500-5266 and make that nasty, stuck-in-the-muck commute into a moment of ecstasy and Excelsior. I like that. This is,
Excelsior.
This is the morning of Excelsior. So become a member of KBOO right now. And
if, and we got gifts, too. We don't have time to tell you about them.
Next time we come back, we'll talk more about the gifts. But right now, we're going to go back to the old mall and the very reason why KBOO exists.
And one of the gifts, most assuredly, is Steve Early's book, Save Our Unions, Dispatches from a Movement in Distress. Steve, you had to listen to all that enthusiasm, didn't you?
All I can say is that my fellow CWA members down at KPFA in Berkeley need to get a tip or two from KBOO on community radio fundraising. I think your approach is great.
And you're aware, of course, that our staff here are CWA members.
Yes.
Very good. Steve Early be speaking this weekend, Sunday, at the Lucky Lab, 1700 North Killingsworth, at noon on this coming Sunday. He's the author of just released Save Our Unions, Dispatches from a Movement in Distress. Steve, another dilemma that I'm going to take from the book. This is a really thought-provoking book. It's a great history, even though that's not how it projects itself. But you look at all the case studies that Steve has written about and incorporated into this book, and it answers a bunch of questions. There are all these struggles that, of course, I knew about, but some of them I didn't know how they turned out. This is the book that fills you in on what's going on in the labor movement the last few years. Here's a dilemma, another dilemma to pose to you. There's an emphasis in Save Our Unions on the importance of organizing around work conditions, shop floor issues, the kinds of concerns that workers actually have and that get lost sometimes in the large national negotiating sessions. The question to you, how do you combine that focus on shop floor issues, on working conditions, with the kind of larger issues that are necessary to build solidarity among different unions?
Well, I think what goes on in the workplace has to be the starting point for union revitalization. When unions become detached from the day-to-day job concerns of their members, that's a formula for trouble. And people pay dues to unions for representation on the job, for advice about how to exercise their legal rights, for information about their rights and benefits under their collective bargaining agreement. And no union can really be effective in organizing the unorganized, in political action, in coalition building with non-labor groups, unless it's tending to business day-to-day on the job. Now, I'm not suggesting that be done in a traditional kind of business union fashion where the members are passive and inactive and just consumers of services and all the work of the union is done by full-time officials and staff. That's not a very good model either. The model that seems to work best is one of membership engagement, empowerment, developing rank-and-file leadership, constant education, and connecting of the problems in the workplace to the larger political, social, and economic challenges that the labor movement and the working class as a whole faces in our country.
Your answer really is that there's not a separation then between working on working conditions and the concerns of people on the job and those larger issues.
No, there isn't. And in the past, there's sometimes been a kind of false dichotomy developed by reformers in the labor movement who kind of rejected what they call the traditional servicing model, just focused on the existing membership and said we needed to focus on an organizing model, outreach to unorganized workers. You have to do both at the same time because you're never going to reverse the long-term decline in union membership in this country, win more people over to the idea that they're better off with union rights and a union contract, if the existing base of union membership is dissatisfied and disenfranchised and frustrated and angry and discontent. That's not a very good advertisement for the best of what the labor movement can be.
It's a very important emphasis to not lose track of the kinds of concerns that workers themselves have on the jobs, workers ourselves have on the jobs. Take it a step further, if you will. How do we promote more social justice unionism, or what gets called social movement unionism?
Well, I think, again, it's an educational process. And those unions that have attempted to, over the last 25 years, for example, change their position on immigration, you know, had to do that with a lot of discussion and debate within their own ranks. But those that have become more welcoming to immigrant workers and have become defenders of the 11 or 12 minute 12 million undocumented workers in this country, they benefited from building ties to communities of the foreign-born. We've seen building trades and service sector unions make membership organizing gains as they reposition themselves as defenders of immigrant workers on the job and in the community and in the legislative political arena.
We have seen changes, and of course we've seen upsurges as well by rank-and-file workers that have revitalized and perhaps should have even had greater consequences revitalizing the unions that we do have. We're talking about Save Our Unions, Steve Early's new book. It's a very good book. I really want to encourage anyone interested in labor to read it. We've got copies of it as premiums today for membership renewals. Steve, you've been on this program before. We talked, I remember, a couple of years ago with the Lawrence Centenary. We talked about labor history. So, as parting words, what are your thoughts on supporting community radio?
I think it's absolutely essential for people in every community where there's a great outlet like this to get behind it. We all know what the problems are with the corporate-dominated mainstream media. Very, very hard for labor and its allies to get the word out through the corporate media, and we need alternative media. We need forums like this for news and commentary that you're not going to find anywhere else in Portland or anywhere else.
Very important to support KABU. Steve, we'll see you this coming Sunday at the Lucky Lab on North Killingsworth. That's at noon. You'll have copies of the book there as well, I presume.
We will, and I'm sure it's going to be a very lively discussion. And thanks again for having me on the show.
Terrific. Good to speak with you. Let's go back to...
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. I'd hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd hammer out danger, I'd hammer out a warning. I'd hammer out love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land.
You are listening to the Old Mole Variety Hour. We are in our membership drive right now, and I would like to go back to Joe Uris and Barbara Bernstein to tell you why you need to support KABU.
Well, I like to think of KABU as a hammer.
Hammer, hammer.
It's the kind of hammer that if you hammer in the morning and you hammer in the evening, you might actually get to learn something. You might actually make a little opening in the empire, a little crack in the empire, and start to really make some significant change.
You want to break the empire? Whoa, that's a really serious ambition. Hey, wait, stop the music. Stop everything. This is a matching period. Old Mole Variety Hour, that's now. That's now. Double the impact of your donation without any extra money out of your pocket. How, you ask? Well, an anonymous KABU member has made a very generous offer to match the next $500 in donations called in during the Old Mole Variety Hour. Double the impact of your gift at no cost to you by calling 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. Do this now. Make a gift. Help the station survive. Help your life. Help the world. And help us get better music into the Portland metro area.
And I want to thank three people who've already gone ahead and done this. All renewals. Anne from Northeast Portland, Heidi from Corbett, and Catherine from Southwest Portland. Thanks for renewing your membership in KABU and remaining a really vital part of our community and of all the threads and connectedness that makes Portland the wonderful place that it is.
Yeah, you know, I seriously, you know, I'm pitching and acting like a pitch man, but the fact of the matter is, if you think at all about the state of our country, the state of the world, you realize that one of the few pearls that dares to tell truth, that dares to defy a destructive capitalism that is just leading us into, I don't know what to call it, but it ain't good and it's going to eat the planet. The one light that shines as a progressive beacon in the Portland metro area is KBOO. And you don't want that beacon to dim or, God forbid, go out. In order to prevent that, we have to have money. We don't get corporate sponsors. We don't get government grants. We don't get nothing from them kind of people. What we get is the support of people just like you. Won't you help right now? Just pick up the phone. Call 877-500-5266.
How much does it cost to do this? What do they need?
$40? What?
Yeah, well, actually, we have a wide range of options.
Wide range.
So we what we really like is if every month you allow us to go into your bank account and take out $10. It's $120
yes,
a year.
Let us go into your
it's
bank
painless
account.
Because it's only $10 a month. It all happens electronically. It's called an electronic funds transfer.
Electronic
between
fund
our
transfer.
Bank and your bank, you don't have to do anything except write in your checkbook register every month, $10 to KBOO. Feel really good when you do that. And it helps to sustain us. And that is my favorite way of people helping KBOO.
She's right. Barbara's absolutely right. That is the best way to do it. But anyway, any amount, any time, any pledge drive is more than welcome. But right now...
Right now, we are matching whatever you give us.
Yeah, for $500.
For the next 36 minutes, 35 minutes
so,
here.
So, you know, you should be calling this. If you ever contemplate giving money, this is the moment to do it. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266.
Or you can join online by going to kboo.fm, and in the upper right-hand corner, there's a tip jar. Just click on that. Become a member of KBOO.
There's still a tip jar?
I think they call it a tip jar still. Yeah. Donation job, something like that.
Don't ignore us. Do it. Pick up the phone. 877-500-5266.
And in fact, if you do that right now, if you call 877-500-5266 and you offer us a gift of $75 or more, you can get a copy of the book, Putting the Movement Back into the Labor Movement. Actually, it's called Save Our Unions, Dispatches from a Movement in Distress by Steve Early. And we will give you that book as a thank you for helping keep KBOO alive and helping keep KBOO strong.
And we have other gifts, but that's not the point.
But you've been listening to this interview with Steve Early.
Steve Early's a good man. Yeah. KBOO's a good place. You want us to survive. You really need to help us. You need to call 877-500-5266 and be a big part of this community. And it's a matching period, $500 match.
So, Joe, why do you think people... What makes KBOO different? What makes Portland different because of KBOO?
Well, first of all, almost every major movement in the past 30 years has come out of efforts by people who, many of whom work for KBOO and who make public the struggles of the people, the black movements in Portland, the efforts to build peace and justice in the world. These things are very important. But you know what? The other thing is it's the best music programming in the region.
And you can do that right now. You can support us by calling 877-500-5266 or contribute online at kboo.fm. And now we're going to go back to the Old Mole.
Well, yes, you're tuned to the Old Mole Variety Hour, and I'm your host, Joe Clement. I'm also engineering. Before we were talking with Joe and Barbara, we were listening to Norm Diamond talk with Steve Early, and you can still get Steve's book with your membership and double your contribution if you want to call in the next 30 minutes, 1-877-500-5266. We're now going to turn it over to Old Mole Bill Resnick, who's going to touch on a frequent theme on the Old Mole with Francis Moore Lappe of democracy in everyday life. Bill.
Thanks, Joe. Francis Moore Lappe, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you.
Francis Moore Lappe's first book, Diet for a Small Planet, published in 1971, has now sold over 3 million copies. Now that's an achievement, Francis. It was then in 1971 a groundbreaking critique of agribusiness and meat eating as so pernicious for the planet and for people. It's been constantly updated. It remains indispensable, including for its vegetarian recipes. Over the last 40-some years, Frances Moore LePay has written or co-authored 17 more books, many centered on building a truly democratic society, which would include radical democratic change in the food system. Frances Moore LePay, conservatives say the monkeys can't run the zoo. Moderates and liberals, well, they do. They're very impolite. Moderates and liberals are much more polite. They say it more gently, that we need people with very specialized skills and education to manage society for the benefit of everybody else. I hope we can conclude this interview with how to build that living democracy and why that's so crucial for every person and for the planet. But first, describe everyday living democracy and why we know, contrary to all of our betters, that it works in both in organizations and in personal life.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that great introduction. And yes, I wrote Diet for a Small Planet. I continue to ask, why is there hunger in a world of plenty of food? And that question then led me to the biggest question, why are we creating a world together that as individuals we would never choose? And that led me to living democracy, that what is missing is this confidence in ourselves, that we know what works, and we look at through human history and lab experiments on our species, and we find out that there are conditions that are necessary for us to thrive, and that is the dispersion of power, the transparency, lack of secrecy, that is, the transparency in our relationships with each other, especially public relationships with government, and a mutual accountability. So those are the keystone concepts of living democracy that is, I think, the missing, you know, concept. We need a vision of where to go beyond this failing, thin, rigged democracy. So I love to call it living democracy because it is a way of life, as you say. It's an everyday democracy. It means it's a skill that we teach ourselves and our children. For example, you know, I would start with schools teaching children mediation skills so that they trust their own capacity as problem solvers. It goes on all the way up through to how we elect our representatives. And we know that so much despair and sense of powerlessness today in our country is because we know that we are not truly you know, we, the citizens, have less power than corporations do in selecting who runs our government. And so I have a lot to say about there's a moment right now in Congress, because last week legislation was introduced that would really break that stranglehold of private wealth over our political system. But what I really want to underscore is this idea that human beings, what do we need? We need connection, meaning, and power in our lives. And the reason I believe that things aren't working now, from climate change to hunger to environmental disruptions, is that we have not yet built a institutional decision-making that really reflects our need and capacities for those qualities, connection and meaning and power in our lives. That's what living democracy is.
Right. Let's go right to the first step for briefly, though, into personal life. You know, the 60s mm-hmm. saying, the personal is the political. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. that was really profound. It changed my life to think about it that way. It means that in every one of your, every human relationships, you treat people with respect, and then people grow as a result. People, you participate rather than rule. I mean, that's as true as child rearing and as it is in sexuality and other spheres. It has to be sort of a mutual search and not a top-down endeavor.
Yes, and the top-down has failed us throughout history and in our families, wherever we're experiencing it. And one of the ways I like to talk about what you just said is that if we really develop what I now call an eco-mind, that's the name of my latest book, Eco-Mind, that we see how all of nature, including human nature, is all connected. And so we are all affecting everything around us moment to moment, and we are being affected through these infinite number of connections. So we all have some power, and when you talk of what you just said about exercising that power in a way that is mutual and not just one over the other, that then radiates out, and we can drop this notion that some are powerful and some are powerless. and we realize that we all have power by who we are, because people model themselves off one another, and every time we speak out or don't speak out, we have power, or you know, in other words, not acting is also has effect. So I was impressed that you referred to a labor, was it a book that was just referred to, a new book on the labor movement?
Yes, Steve Early's book, Saving Our Unions, right.
Now, I mean, there is a perfect example of how people have come together over history and have, by solidarity and recognizing their own responsibility, not just pointing fingers, but joining together to make change. And we see it today, you know, with the Walmart workers and others speaking out, even risking their jobs. And that is what living democracy means. It's dropping this our own sense of powerlessness and realizing the power we have as we join with others. And, of course, that's why I love independent media, because that's how we find each other.
This is Bill Resnick for The Old Mole. I'm talking to Francis Moore LePay and on democracy, not just in elections, although even in elections we have a huge deficit and they're not terribly democratic, but democracy as a way of life, how important that is to individuals and the planet. Today's day 5 of KBOO's winter membership drive. Membership drives are when we reach out to you for support, asking you to become radioactive, become members, so that we can continue to tell truth to power and discuss the alternatives to top-down corporate and military ways of living, like this discussion with Francis Moore LePay. KBOO Radio is the most thoughtful radio on the air. Talking to Francis Moore LePay and all of our other programming and our music. This interview will conclude discussing why the democratic spirit and democratic way of life is crucial to saving the planet from environmental collapse. It's also crucial for all of us individuals. If we don't participate, we don't fully develop. But first we go to Barbara and Joe at our membership desk. Hi, folks. Tell us why KBOO is so important for all of us in our daily life. Well, I guess I am going to be telling you that. No, Joe is sitting down. In fact, Francis Moore LePay, why don't you tell us that for a few minutes?
Well, you know that I am a strong, strong supporter of independent media, community radio. This is the key for us to be able to have our own voices, meaning the everyday democracy people, talking about what they are doing and on all these different issues. I would say, whether it's climate change or hunger, what you name it, that it, what we really have to worry about is people's feeling of powerlessness, because the solutions are known. But how do we come together and let go of our sense of powerlessness? It is through true independent sources of information. That's how we gain trust and gain confidence that there are solutions. And so that's why I'm so happy to support independent media.
And we were so happy to have Frances Moore LePay on supporting us, and she's been a frequent guest here at KBOO.
I don't want to embarrass her, but she's one of my heroes.
Actually, we all say that to you, Frances. So.
Anyway, I really, really, really think that people should know this is a matching period. And that means that up to $500 can be matched. You give $20, it's worth $40. You give $50, it's worth $100. You give $500, it's worth, well... 1,000. Really, please, now is the opportunity. The Old Mole Variety Hour is waiting to hear from you. KBOO is waiting to hear from you. Remember, the number to call, 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. This is the moment to help the station do well, survive, and spread the word about things that are being ignored by the major media. You will not hear the truth anywhere else on the air. So support KBOO. 877-500-5266. 877 800-500-5266.
And you can also join online by going to our website, kboo.fm, and click on the tip jar and become a member of KBOO. And you can do that for as little as whatever you need, actually. Whatever you can give us is something is what we really appreciate. But we really like for you to be able to donate $10 a month, which we take out of your bank account, and you don't have to do anything except...
You won't feel a thing.
It's painless. I've been doing this for years, and it really is... It's one of those satisfying deductions at the end of the month to look and go, oh, $10 to KBOO. That feels so good to do that. I don't necessarily feel that about a lot of the other bills that I pay. But when you give money to KBOO, you know that you're doing something to kickstart the community every day to help this institution that has survived. I don't even know how we've managed to make it to... we're pushing 46
years. By begging and whining and asking people just like you to give money.
I guess that's how we do it. But we also serve a real vital purpose in...
Yes.
In this community.
And as soon as we reach the $500, you will hear this.
So we need you to call right now at 877-500-5266. You can join online at kboo.fm. You can also get as a thank you gift a copy of the book you just heard an interview about earlier called Save Our Unions, Dispatches from a Movement in Distress by Steve Early. I don't know, and maybe Francis Morlapay will... say hello to you, too.
You never can tell. 877-500-5266.
So join right now. Become a part of a community that's growing, that's thriving, that's excited to be able to look forward into the future. And what I find the most exciting about KBOO, actually, is that we're not just a bunch of old farts like Joe and me anymore, that there's a whole... I'm sorry, Joe. There's a whole lot of young people, a lot of young energy, including our engineer, Joe Clement, who are bringing a whole new take on what it takes to make social change. And we're doing it all together here at KBOO, those of us from the old guard, those of us who are from a new generation, and bringing KBOO forward and bringing Portland with us. So give a call at 877-500-5266. Become a member of KBOO right now.
Well, thanks, Barbara and Joe. I consider myself a very energetic old guard. Francis Morlapay, I think you are the most energetic of all. Is that... After 18 books, you're really going strong still.
Yeah, I'm just in the sprint mode now.
Oh, you know? It took a long time to build up to it.
I just wanted to say to all your listeners, I would just say, give until it feels really good. And you know, sometimes to feel really good, you have to stretch a little. So,
you know,
I want you all to feel good there.
That's what I wanted to talk about, why it feels so really good to participate. Because I mean, for the second half of the interview, I think it's important to talk about why the democratic living is so important, and particularly for the planet. That, in fact, is your latest book, is EcoMind, Changing the Way We Think to Create the World We Want. It's really essential. It's the... It has to be the alternative. It's the only alternative to the, quote, Western way of life of endless consumption.
And it comes down, I think, Bill, to who we believe human beings are, whether we think we can make this turn to living democracy, to a life serving democracy. And what my own life has taught me is that people need three things I've mentioned. We need a sense of connection with one another, we need a sense of meaning in our lives, and we need power. Power is not just for a few activists or people, you know, on the top. Power is something we all need to feel that we are creating. And that is why I believe the lack of those three needs being met is one of the reasons that suicide is a global pandemic today. It is increasing. There are more people dying from suicide than from all wars. So the point is that this is not, we're not asking of ourselves something that is not innately human, that we need to create social practices and institutions that meet those deepest of human needs. And so what inspires me, Bill, so much is what I see in the global South of people who have so much less than we do, but have the courage to step out and create solutions in their own villages, in their own cities. I was just in India, where the lowest caste village women had gone from absolute famine almost to agroecological, multi-cropping, organic, and were then creating absolute food security for themselves through through their solidarity in groups and teaching each other how to save seeds and grow, and then going on radio. They got their own radio station, and they're teaching other communities this. So we can take heart. It's not just in the industrial countries that living democracy can emerge. It is in the global south as well. And this is so important for us to recognize, to give us courage here.
Yeah, and it's so necessary for not just for all of us humans to participate and to be treated with dignity and respect and really challenged. But it's becoming so clear that it's necessary for the planet, that if we don't move towards different ways of living, our species and many others are going to be imperiled.
Yes.
From various kinds of environmental despoilation. Yeah. Tell us about
this.
That. Yeah.
In my lifetime, Germany has gone from a monstrous dictatorship of fascism to a global green leader in my lifetime. I was alive, when Hitler was alive. So let's see. What does that tell us? It says that this transition can happen so that now all over Germany, people are participating in the green economy, so much so that in 2010, in cloudy Germany, the size of Montana produced half the global the global solar energy, half in this small country that's very cloudy. They produced half the solar power.
And
this
can
happen.
Yeah, and most of the installations are, in fact, cooperatively owned by communities or by schools, by various kinds of cooperative groups. It's quite an amazing story. Yeah, we've tried to tell it on the Old Mole. Francis Moore LePay, we're getting waved off the air, I'm afraid. It's so great to talk to you. There's so much to say. In any event, I'm hoping to do an interview with Diet for a Hot Planet, your daughter's book.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
You're reproducing your ideas in so many ways.
She's fantastic, and I'm here in her home now, actually.
Right.
So I know she's looking forward to that.
Thanks a lot.
And I wish you every success with this funding moment.
Thanks so much for talking to us today.
If I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning, I'd ring it in the evening, all over this land. I'd ring out danger, I'd ring out a warning, I'd ring out love between my brothers and my sisters.
You are listening to the Old Mole Variety Hour on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. I'm your host, Joe Clement. It's funny because it's true, Emmett Renson says in the last sentence of an essay he wrote for the New Republic recently, in which he argues that the massively popular satirical newspaper The Onion is actually a kind of front for 21st century Marxist propaganda. What's interesting and entertaining about the deliberately but not so impenetrably ambiguous piece is that it draws on tropes and devices of both left-wing satire and right-wing posturing. I like to read excerpts from it and unpack some of these ambiguities. Let's start with the opening paragraph, which presents his ostensible thesis that the vanguard of revolution, the paper most dedicated to overthrowing capitalism in the United States today, is none other than The Onion. Renson asserts this after downplaying the significance of other well-established, quote, publications dedicated to radical politics, end quote, such as Monthly Review or The Socialist Worker or World Socialist Website. This is our first step into his argument, so it's natural that he'll start with something provocative. It makes the reader eager to listen so they can get to the bottom of this. The second paragraph lays out a more ostentatious thesis that sounds like it's exposing something nefarious until we get to the sympathetic-sounding allusion to Marx. Quote, "Nothing in The Onion suggests explicit support for a communist solution, of course, but looking back on the humor magazine's punchiest political barbs of the late, one can't help but notice that many of the jokes, what you're meant to get, are just less obtuse, much funnier versions of capitalist critiques in the German Ideology and other Karl Marx classics," end quote. He then presents several examples from the newspaper in a style that more clearly lifts from The Onion's own bulldozing kind of journalistic surrealism. And incidentally enough, this also kind of reminds one of the self-righteously wordy style of Ayn Rand. Here's one that comes off as more sympathetic than skeptical to how the Onion and Marxism seem grounded in actually quite undeniable experiences. Quote, "It doesn't stop with the obvious communist-tinged class warfare gags. More often than not, the Onion delves into deep cuts from the Marx-Engels oeuvre. Laid-off man finally achieves perfect work-life balance, has traces of Entfremdung, the contention that capitalism alienates the proletariat from their species consciousness by making them participants without control in the economic relations of their culture. The quote-unquote newly unemployed coder can finally eat better, sleep longer, and spend more time with his family. I'm even cooking more, he says. Everything just feels right. We laugh because we know that only complete overthrow of the master class and a restoration of equitable labor relations will give us a balance we seek so fruitlessly in dating sites and cable." Renson then rattles off some of the banal, almost 19th century sounding article titles. Majority of office supplies used to apply for different job. Interns treated to informative 30-minute Q&A with totally miserable employees. Area CEO likes to think of family as small, close-knit business. And indicts them all and says that they're all clear indictments of false consciousness arising inexorably from bourgeois dogma as it perverts our very understanding of fulfillment, family, and success. Society is sick with capital. Attempts to work within the system only lead to comic cycles of futility. End quote. Later in the essay, he turns the argument away from a conventional view of how Marxist intellectuals are thought to propagandize the masses through academic kinds of arguments that are supposed to enlighten them, and towards what I'd say Antonio Gramsci calls hegemony. Gramsci's nowhere mentioned here, but he was an Italian Marxist who fought fascism in Italy and the earlier 20th century and was imprisoned for many years because of it. His theories about cultural hegemony sought to make intelligible the processes and struggles over people's imaginations that were waged between working-class radicals and various sympathizers of cutthroat capitalist culture over what you used to call class consciousness. I'd like to read most of the remainder of the essay before making a final remark. Of course, you don't actually have to read theories of surplus value to get the Onion's jokes. Fans of Preface to the Critique of Political Economy aren't enjoying some punchline beyond more casual readers' reach. Rather, the very universal accessibility of the Onion reflects just how deeply ingrained Marxist critiques of capitalism are in our culture. At a time when our moderate president is called a socialistic dictator by a Senate congressman, it's telling that one of our most universally beloved sources of comedy is so sympathetic to a more radical ideology. What it tells us is that we've accepted Marx's basic view of capital so thoroughly that we treat it like obvious intuitive truth, the kind necessary for any kind of broadly appealing humor. The idea that the invisible hand is a truly stupid way to find moral virtue on our excess consumption of plastic beads is pure Marxism. We're just not allowed to call it that. Given this disconnect, it's unsurprising that withering critiques of American capitalism have found their most popular outlet in the nation's leading satirical paper. From King Lear's Fool to Samuel Clemens, humor is often the cover by which the radical reaches the mainstream. I don't believe the Onion's writing staff is consciously promoting Marxism, but that only emphasizes the point. Cognitive dissonance or not, Das Kapital has so thoroughly permeated our understanding of capitalism that we're seldom even aware that we are citing it. It's become a kind of cultural white noise, always present but rarely acknowledged. Among mainstream U.S. publications, only The Onion, under the guise of satire, can get away with openly channeling this contradiction. No doubt the intent is more opportunistic than deliberately subversive, but the point remains. With Americans continuing to struggle in the long wake of the Great Recession and a populist wave taking aim at the country's ever-widening economic inequality, the timing has never been better for dark humor about the failures of late capitalism. And so The Onion resonates. As the saying goes, it's funny because it's true. What I think is true about Emmett Renson's New Republic article is that it's a punchier version of Steve Colbert's famous line about how reality has a well-known liberal bias. Take the choice of high Marx as his avatar for class experience with a grain of salt, because he's constrained by his subject, the right wing's own obsession with repressing sympathetic descriptions or analysis of class struggle. A universal specter is haunting the internet. The invocation of the ghost of Marxism can be taken as an unimpressive doctrinaire showboat tactic, or as a tongue-in-cheek nod to the revolutionary spirit that comes from below. If you just tuned in, I'm Joe Clement for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I've been talking about and reading from Emmett Renson's recent piece for the New Republic about how the satirical paper The Onion is a front for Marxist propaganda and how to really think about this. We are now going to go to a short music break and then come back to hear a bit more from our pitchers.
Got a hammer and I got a bell and I got a song to sing all over this land. It's the hammer of justice, it's the bell of freedom, it's the song about a love between my brothers and my sisters.
You are listening to the Old Mole Variety Hour. We were just hearing a truncated clip from Pete Seeger's If I Had a Hammer. And we're going to be ending the Old Mole Variety Hour early today so that we can hear a bit more from our pitchers about why you need to make KBOO around, why you need to support KBOO so that the Old Mole can continue its mission of advocating for democracy in everyday life and general progressive ideals. I like to say thank you first to Norm Diamond and Steve Early. They were talking about a book that you can get as a gift with your membership of, I think, a minimum $75 pledge, which you can do it in one lump sum or you can have it spread out over several months, called Save Our Unions, Dispatches from a Movement in Distress. Bill Resnick was talking with Francis Moore LePay, who is a prolific advocate of new kinds of global consciousness that are oriented towards everyday experiences and needs for a democratic society. They were talking about democracy in everyday life, which is a constant theme here on the Old Mole. And then just before the music clip, I was reading from and talking about Emmett Renson's New Republic article about The Onion that came out this last week. Tune in next week for more interviews, commentary, reviews, and radical analysis from the Old Mole's underground perspective. You can find any of the material that we've mentioned in links that will go up with the audio in a couple days when we post that at kboo.fm/oldmolevarietyhour. I'd like to now go back to Joe Uris and Barbara Bernstein, who are really solid members of the KBOO community, to tell you why we need you to keep KBOO solid.
Uh-oh.
How solid are we?
Uh-oh. My critique is withering. It's cranking. It's going away. No! Be not afraid, ladies and gentlemen. Have no fear. We have a matching grant, and we are near to fulfilling it. Won't you right now make a contribution where it counts? 2 for 1. That's $2 for every dollar you give. Do it now. Feel good about yourself. Realize that your critique is alive and well. Call 877-500-5266. Let me do that a little slower. 877-500-5266. And remember, every dollar you give in the next few minutes is $2. Get double your money's worth out of KBOO.
And get double the radio's worth when you call 877-500-5266. You can also contribute by going online to our website, kboo.fm, and click on the tip jar. Become a member. I'm going to get to do my favorite part of every pitch, which
What's
is
that?
To
What's that?
Thank people.
Oh,
I love to
people.
Thank people, and we have several people to thank. We have Tony from Northeast Portland, Anita from Vancouver, Washington, Jeffrey from Southeast Portland, and James from Northeast Salem.
And
thank you very
us,
much.
They helped us double get this double money thing.
They were really helpful in us getting. We are, I think, over. We're close. We have raised $650 towards $1,000, and so we just need to raise another
$225,
I think, whatever it is.
Hey, 877-500-5266. Don't think, dial.
That's right.
Oh, you don't dial anymore. Push buttons.
Exactly.
Oh, you don't push buttons anymore.
Click,
it out loud.
That's right. Just talk to Siri and tell her.
Think.
877-500-5266. And when you're talking to Siri, think about how much more wonderful it actually is to hear us talking to you. We are actually people. We are not operating systems. We have feelings. We have cognitive
feelings.
We've got compassion. We have bodies. We have things that interact in the world with the rest of the natural world. The world. Remember that? You remember when you were part of the world there, Joe?
I don't remember. Well, I want to say that, Rona, we want to thank Rona from Southeast Portland. It's a $100 contribution.
That is great.
Right there.
$200.
Right there. That's $200.
That's right. We're getting closer all the time.
We can do this.
We also need to thank the people who are feeding us today.
Feeding us.
Every day during the pledge drive, we get donations from wonderful local restaurants. And this morning, we are thanking Katie O'Brien's at 2809 Southeast Sandy for the All-American breakfast that is being gobbled up in front of my eyes. At Roy Thai Cuisine, who I assume is giving us lunch, and they're at 506 Southwest 4th. And then for dinner will be the Corbett Fish House, 5901 Southwest Corbett Avenue. So we want to thank all of the businesses that support us, not only the ones that are feeding us today and throughout the pledge drive, but all the other businesses who give us underwriting, who give us large contributions. And if you're one of these businesses, you're just kind of opening your doors on this kind of snowy, slushy, icy morning, hoping that people will actually be able to make it in, and you have KBOO on and you're in your place of business, and you have not become a business member of KBOO, you can do that now by calling 877-500-5266.
And remember, when you call 877-500-5266, your money is doubled during this period of time. We want to thank
Michael. One minute
to go. Come on, folks. We can do this. Michael from New York.
He's calling from New York?
He made a donation. All the way so far away in the land of snow and hell.
Yeah, they're even snowier than we are.
Yeah.
And so thank you, Michael. And for those of you who are listening to us on the World Wide Web.
World Wide Web.
You can call 877-500-5266. You can go online at kboo.fm. You can become a member. And
they want us to
keep
slow
talking.
Down and keep talking. We want to remind you of how important it is for KBOO to survive in this time of right-wing horror and violence throughout the world. Really, actually. And in order to have that happen, we need money. We don't get government money. We don't get private corporation money. We get breakfast, you know, breakfast. That's good. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Or
you can go online to kboo.fm and become a member. Become not just a virtual member through the virtual world, but you become an actual member through the virtual portal of our website. And speaking of our website, this is another part of KBOO, which didn't used to exist when Joe and I first were involved with the station.
Well, which back is, in those days, we used tin cans and wire.
Well, we used egg cartons on the walls to dampen
really
the...
It was really funky-dunky.
Yeah, but in those days of chewing gum and paper clips and duct tape that held the station together, we are a little bit better than that now.
You can hear the radio on with chewing gum and
right,
tin foil.
On your fillings, would come
fillings.
In your fillings.
Oh, wonderful.
But now we have actual digital equipment and other things that have entered the digital age.
Digital
equipment. And we have a website, which if you haven't visited, I would go to while I'm talking. It's kboo.fm. And there on the website, you can learn a lot more about the programming. And that's what I love about the web and the connection between radio and web is radio is the everything you can learn through sound, which is really exciting. But every so often you want the pictures. And so there on the web, we have the pictures.
The pictures.
It gives us time. Like my show is only 45 minutes long. And there's maybe an hour and a half of things that need to be said. Well, on the web, the other 45 minutes can be there.
And no naked people whatsoever. 877-500-5266. This is a matching period. Every dollar you give is another dollar extra. So do it now. Make the commitment. Help KBOO exist for another whatever. And make sure you realize that this progressive struggle is far from over. It's really just beginning.
Well, actually, I also want to interject that it's close to the top of the hour, that you are listening to KBOO FM, Portland, Oregon.
That is so appropriate.
Yes, and we're at 90.7 here in Portland.
And
we are 91, actually... we've moved our translator. It's in a different place down in Corvallis. It's in Philomath.
Well, now, don't worry.
So, but anyway, you can
877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. Make that call today. And if you want to go on the internet, then...
Then you go to kboo.fm and you click on the tip jar and you become a member and you make the phones ring and you turn the energy in this room just starts to spiral around in pirouettes and different, it's the colors
change. It gets amazing. And and really, seriously, you will not find anything like this. 877-500-5266.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, February 10th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Because we are in our winter membership drive, and you don't believe it's winter, take a look outside or try driving from Troutdale. This is a winter membership drive, and in a very short 15 minutes, we bring you an hour of news. We hope that you'll bring us your support and your membership, your participation in your community through the voice of your community. Because we do not have our final closing credits, before we get into headlines for today, I just want to remind everyone that it is again membership drive. Time to make that call right now at 1-877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. I want to first off thank Kathleen Stevenson, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Kathleen is also engineering the show today. We also have people out there in the membership drive room who are going to talk to you later at the end of the show about the many, many reasons, the many rewards that are attended upon becoming a member of KBOO, apart from being a lot sexier and richer and more popular. There are many other reasons to join KBOO, and they're right there to tell you what those are. If you're already a member of KBOO and you are sexier, richer, and more popular than most of your friends, then you know why, and you ought to tell them right away. And before, again, just to remind people, get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. And that said, the state of Washington's undocumented students could be a heartbeat away from state-funded tuition at the state higher education halls. But that funding might not be there. Exactly the amount that is coming in.